This is one of those messages this morning where I'm not totally certain what direction I'm going to go. Last week I spoke on the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, and felt very clear in my mind and inspired by that, feel I have what we should have this morning, but not sure exactly what I'm going to say about it. I want to talk to you about God's favor and God's blessing. I think there's a lot of misconceptions about that, what God's favor is. I want God's favor. I've seen what happens when God's favor is on you. I've just seen it. It's not worth the energy, folks, to do things on your own. When God's favor and His hand is on you, it enhances everything that you do. It deepens every conversation. It makes every golden moment, and you know they are golden, once they pass, they're gone. It makes every golden moment count. And certainly while we're in our fleshly body, we're gonna make mistakes with that. We're gonna have times we don't use our time wisely. We're gonna have times we don't value things the way that we should. But the favor of God on our lives is a marvelous and wonderful thing. And I can't tell you how strongly I feel about that and what that's meant in my own life to have God's favor. And I think there are a lot of misconceptions in our world today in regard to how you get under the favor of God. It's neat to see God do cool things. In fact, I'm going to read you a text this morning. Kevin and Abby went to Iowa to speak at a church. This is new territory. They're out speaking to get their support raised for going to Haiti. And he's never done that before. His grandpa, Jack, was a traveling evangelist. And prior to pastoring, I did quite a bit of speaking out, but that's something Kevin hasn't done too much. And so taking three little munchkins and all that that entails, the three car seats, Wendy knows what that's all about, side by side in the back of the car, and leaving, you know, we gave him a hug goodbye and spent the evening with him before they left. And he called last night and he said, "Mom, they put us in a five-bedroom empty house with three bathrooms and a satellite, and across the alley is the church, and gave me the key to the church. I can go over there and pray and spend all the time I want in there, and they're going to be there several days." And my, he didn't expect, he was just expecting a room to stay in. And I text him, and I said, "Mom told me about your nice house. Interesting. I'm speaking on God's favor in the morning. Sounds like you have more confirmation. I'll be thinking of you in the morning. Love, Dad." He said, "Yeah, when I got to thinking how much these people are providing for us, I told Abby, I know these people are just the middleman. This is God looking out for us." Isn't that cool? He knows our anxieties. He knows the smallest little thing that bothers us. And if we're walking in communion with Him, that's the key. If we're walking in communion with Him, if we're walking in an intimate, close relationship with Him, He is making the way for us. And I thought it was neat that He answered. He recognized that the people were the middleman, that really it was God preparing the way. Favor. What an awesome thing. James 4:8, here on the wall behind me, says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." Draw nigh to God, James 4:8, and He will draw nigh. I have dear nigh mercy, and I read that 7-8 times. I'm sorry. I just noticed that on my iPad. I'm sorry. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. God's favor and blessing are really His close, abiding, sweet presence. Let's not imagine that God's favor is something that, you know, some faraway mystic thing that when I do enough sacrifices and do enough things, I'll acquire this mystic thing out here. In reality, what God's favor and blessing are is His close and abiding, sweet presence. There's lots of myths in the last 25 years connected with this whole thing of God's favor. And I think there's a distorted view of God's favor. I want to be careful here, but I think a lot of our, some is better. Some of our TV ministries that have covered a lot of the world, I think possibly it was unintentional, but I think that there has been a distorted view of what this thing of God's favor is. And I think we need to address that. You sign up for God, so to speak. You know, you get in line and you make some kind of a commitment, and then from here on out, your life is filled with God's favor and blessing. That's how it's promoted in many times, unfortunately, in the last 25 years. Get in line, sign up for God, and you give $10, and I promise you in 10 minutes, He's going to give you back 1,000. There's been that kind of thing promoted, and I think because of that, there's been a distorted view of what God's favor is. Now, is there favor walking with God? Is there something to what these folks have said? Yes, it contains truth, but it also contains error. And I opened the service with Psalms chapter 1, and I want to read that again to you. Psalms chapter 1, if you want to turn to it, I'll give you a second. This is a great passage of Scripture. It's just 6 verses long. But Psalms chapter 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Boy, that's a favorite verse. "Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff that the wind drives away." Goes on to say, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." But I want you to especially notice, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the word of the Lord. And he meditates in that day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in his season." Now, is that chapter true? Is that a fact that it says that whatsoever he doeth will prosper? And I believe in the original language, I don't want to add anything to Scripture, but the context there, I believe, is to ultimately prosper. Notice the conditions it says. His delight is in the law of the Lord. There is a place of closeness with the Lord where you come in under his favor. It's been advertised in a wrong way. To draw people in, to get people to give, that's horrible. But I think at times in ministries, to get people to give, they make big promises and they quote scriptures and say, "You do this and God's going to do this, and he'll give you back 10 times. Is that scriptural? Yes, there's scripture that supports that, but there are some conditions that the Bible also brings out. It's in the relationship. It's in the relationship that favor comes. It's not me doing some magic thing or putting down some deposit. And I'll say something about that later. Those things can come into play. It's in the relationship that I find favor. As I walk with God, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sets with the way of sinners. He hasn't chosen that way. Or the scornful, those that would make fun and scorn. That's not what he's part of. But his delight, what is your delight? What is your delight? If Pam and I were to be sitting here talking, unaware that anyone was around, and in skipping through the door, would come our little granddaughter, Addison. You might say something like, oh, she's their delight. Because you'd see us turn and say, Addie. Only I would say Subtractie, because that's what I call her. She always knows it's Grandpa Tom. Everybody calls her Addie, you know, Addie. I call her Subtractie. That's her nickname. She always says Grandpa when I say that. But if she came skipping in here, you would look at us and you'd say, they're delighted to see her. And you would see our facial expression change. And you would see light come in our eyes. What lights your fire? What's your delight? When we come to the place that the Lord is our delight, and Jesus truly is the sweetest name I know. And that comes through some trials. That comes through long-term relationship. Wendy, that comes through sitting in the hospital for a number of hours in ICU. If Kim and Michael's in here, Kim and Michael sitting for hours in the hospital where you reach out to the Lord in your darkest hour and you lose a child that's desperately difficult. I know of nothing harder. But you find that God still visits you in your darkest hour, even though you don't have all your questions answered. The Lord begins to be your delight because you recognize that He's the friend who sticketh closer than a brother, the scripture says. He is truly the rose of Sharon, as the Israelis referred to the plain of Sharon. The beautiful roses were known all over the world, and it's interesting the names given to the Lord. The plain of Sharon in Israel, where the most beautiful roses were produced, and He was called the rose of Sharon. The lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. People in different generations, in different ways, from different cultures, have tried to somehow poetically say what the Lord meant. It doesn't matter how we say it. Maybe you say, He's my best friend. In a troubled world where things are shaky around us, in a world where, I want to say to you, in a world where things are melting down, that you can be incredibly solid. But it'll be through your delight being in what God says. And it's then, my friend, it's been presented to us wrong by many. And I think some were well-meaning. It's then that you come into God's favor. It's then where you begin to see literally that what you do prospers. It doesn't happen in 5 minutes. But you see God's blessing on your life. Many fill church pews and never pursue a relationship and wonder why there's no favor. It comes in the relationship. Salvation is free. Favor is optional. Salvation is free. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you've not experienced forgiveness, I'm not pushy about that. I'm an aggressive, forward person, but I'm not pushy about that. You've got to come to grips with it. Every person's got to have their own wrestling match. Jacob wrestled with God, and God, through the night, it was a long and hard wrestling match, and finally he humbled himself, and God broke through to him, and Jacob surrendered in the fight. In fact, it says he limped the rest of his life from the wrestling match. And we each have our own wrestling match, and I'm not into forcing that. But I want you to know that if you come to Jesus Christ and you ask forgiveness for your sins and you ask Him to come into your heart, salvation is absolutely free with no catches, no payment plan. It is absolutely free and you are forgiven. And it's just as if I justified is the old English word. It's just as if I'd never sinned. Brian Rao used to sing this song. We'll have to have him sing it again in the near future. What sin? It's a story of a man that was rehearsing in his mind all the awful things he'd done, and he was bringing them to God, and God said, what sin? I don't know what you're talking about. Well, that's scriptural. The Bible says that He buries our sins in the sea of His forgetfulness, never to remember them against us again. Psalms 103 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far will He remove our sins from us. And when we look up to Him and say, oh, Lord, You shouldn't give me favor. You shouldn't give me favor. I'm the guy that did this. He said, did what? It's forgiven. It's over. Salvation is free, but I will say to you that favor is optional, depending on how close We want to walk with God. I want to encourage you in the upcoming months and years in America, with the direction we're going, seek the relationship with God and find His favor. We need His favor. We need His blessing on us. Regardless of what happens around you, regardless of the meltdown that we might experience, and that's coming sooner or later, oh, we'll patch this thing up and put a, I predict we'll get one of those little tire kits, you know, and we'll patch things for a little bit, but the inevitable is coming. Regardless of what happens around us, you can have God's favor on your own life and sense that favor. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Let's look at the first half of that verse just for a second. Draw nigh to God. I'm going to simplify this morning. We have a real interesting group attending, and I tickled to death with it. I was telling my son this week, we have people who have been here, Christians a long time. We have people that moderate length of time. We have people that know absolutely nothing about the kingdom of God, nothing whatsoever. I don't want to ever complicate things. How do we draw nigh to God? Well, first of all, salvation is free. We must receive Jesus Christ, the sacrifice on the cross. We must take that into ourselves and receive that. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, it says in Revelation. Jesus stands and knocks at the door of our heart. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. And this is interesting. Here's the relationship again. Old English, but hear me out. I'll come in and sup with him, is what it says in the King James Version. Sup with him and he with me. What that is we're going to sit down and we're going to have an intimate time. We're going to eat together. We're going to talk. That's where you take your sweetheart out for dinner. And it's more than just a meal. It's an evening where you're bonding and talking, and you're going to ask her to marry you that night. And this sup with him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. It's a relationship. Now, once you've opened your heart to him, draw nigh to God. How do we do that? Put God first. Matthew 6:33. Says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'll add everything to you. I know that this works. I can sell this hard because I know that this works. I've seen it happen in my whole life. As I've sought to put God first, he adds everything. God's given us a beautiful home, far better than we deserve. Never dreamed I'd have a home that nice. Got it through the fire, and 51 of you, 51 people helped on the house. To rebuild the house. I kept track. I wanted to see how many blessings came our way. And 51 different people helped in one capacity or another. One day I was coming back from my prayer walk and walking up the lane and seeing that pretty house with the porch across the front and the biggest porch other than Cracker Barrel. That porch is 12 by 60. And God reminded me that our trailer we started out in was 12 by 60. Now we have a porch that size. And I love every inch of that porch. Love a huge porch. And I was walking up the lane looking at the house, and God reminded me of something. 25 years ago, I lived over here next to where Vince lives. And there was a long lane just east of our house that went back, and there's a house back there now, but there used to be just a foundation because there had been an old farmhouse there and there had been a fire. So it was a great place to pray. I'd walk down our road, go back that lane, that burned house, nobody ever went back there. And I'd go back there and I'd walk that lane and pray. And one time back there, I just thought, oh, I love this back so far off the road. It's just a neat place. And I said to the Lord, Lord, it'd be awesome sometime to have a home back in a spot like this. I forgot I'd prayed that. But I also remember saying, Lord, if we spend our life in a trailer, it's okay. Help me to always put you first. Help me always to put you first. And we did. I don't say that in a boastful manner, but we kept busy about the ministry and about the Father's business and even left the home that we had here where I was walking from that was close to the road, but yet a nice home. We left the home from there and went to Chicago and lived in an apartment-style house to work in a street ministry. We don't need any pats on the back for that. What I'm saying to you, I want you to see these principles work. Seek first the kingdom. A year or two ago, and I don't remember the exact season, but I remember walking up the lane where we live now. It's been either a year or two ago. And as I was walking up the lane, I was looking at our house, and I said, Lord, thank you for this awesome house. I never dreamed I'd have a house this nice. God reminded me, and just as clear as anything, I visualized the very day when I had prayed and said, Lord, I'd love to have a place like this. God remembers. His favor is a wonderful thing. And he's far better to us than we deserve. Put him first. In your day, in your week, we don't dog you about this, but in your week, fail not to assemble together. In these troubled times, as things are beginning to melt down, do your very best. I know schedules aren't easy, and I know work schedules aren't easy, and nowadays people work 2 or 3 jobs to make ends meet because the pay isn't what it used to be. I understand those things. But do your best to assemble with other believers, to come to church, to put God first to the best of your ability. It pays off. We sang the chorus several times, had fun singing some old songs this morning. Won't it be worth it, my child? Won't it be worth it, my child? Jesus to meet us and the angels to greet us. That's going to be so cool. Jesus to meet us and the angels to greet us. Won't it be worth it? The more I walk, and you know I literally do walk, my prayer time is usually a walk. The more I walk with God, I'm anxious to see with my eyes, with my physical eyes, the one that I've become such good friends with. But can I tell you a secret? And I think some of you can relate to this. I'm not so sure it'll be any different or a whole lot different actually seeing him. Used to. And I want to be so careful with this. This is an intimate thing, and I don't want to share anything I shouldn't. I don't want to, sometimes you take away from the value of something if you say too much about it. But I want to encourage you, younger Christians, keep walking with the Lord. Because I've had times on my prayer walk where the presence of God, and I'll just say this time, because I don't want to ruin it, but the presence of God was so strong that I don't know if it would have been any different if you saw with your eyes. I don't know that it would have been any different. In my hospital room in 4806. No, 6804. I knew that wasn't right. Right numbers, just wrong order. 6804, St. Vincent's, 6th floor. There were times when God was so close, I can honestly say I don't know that it would have made any difference if he was physically before my eyes. So don't misunderstand this, but sometimes when people say to me, oh my, if I could just see the Lord, then I would know. If I could just see the Lord, I keep walking with him. He'll show himself to you. He'll reveal himself even here on earth in a way that you'll have no doubts whatsoever. Put God first, it pays off. Spend time with him. Simple truth that we hammer and hammer and hammer and hammer, but it's the key. I wrote down here, your biggest challenge will be to spend time with God consistently. Young people, I look back here, I see people that I've got such a heart for, and I don't want to start mentioning names because then I'll because there's just a whole bunch of you. But we've got some Elijahs. We got some Elijahs. This whole spirit of Elijah, and it's tied, Michael. It's tied with the loss of your son and an outpouring on the ministry from that. It's tied. I don't understand it all. Mystery of godliness is something. But we've got some young Elijahs with some stirrings in their heart, and they're going to surprise some people. And I see some of you here this morning. I want to say to you, your biggest challenge will be consistently having your time with God, because the devil does not want you to develop the kind of relationship I'm describing. Because it tears down strongholds and it pushes him back and it does havoc in his kingdom. One person
who is intimate spiritually with God, has more spiritual power. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One widow lady that has an intimate relationship with God and knows him and sees him by faith with her spiritual eyes has more impact when kneeling in prayer than an army. The reason I say that so strongly is because the devil will do everything possible to mess up your personal time with God. You will set your alarm and something will happen. You will schedule a new place to pray and they'll decide to tear out that room in your apartment house. The devil will go from every direction to destroy your quiet time. Mom used to say to me, your quiet time is your fuel and it's the most important thing in your day, and the devil will constantly, daily fight you to keep you from having that. Because he knows that if you spend enough time with that girl you love, that you're going to fall in love. He knows if you spend enough time with God that there's going to be a love develop. And there's going to be an intimacy spiritually and a friendship with God. And with that, God's going to begin imparting his spirit to you. And then the devil knows that everywhere you go, he's going to be affected because you bring a presence. Key point this morning. Walking with God, you bring a presence. You want to do something positive for your world? Develop an intimacy with the Lord. The best thing you can do for your sinful world, where you work, your office, your workplace, is to develop an intimate relationship with God, because when you do that, you'll bring a presence with you. The enemy is no match for the Lord. When you have the Lord living within you, do you understand that that's the same spirit that moved on the waters when he said, let there be light? Do you understand what we're talking about when we talk about God's spirit within us? God wants to develop a relationship with us and place his spirit within us. But he can't do it when we continue to choose to live loosely and write our own rules, and go our own way. It isn't about do's and don'ts. It isn't about a checklist and a spiritual report card, I can't do this. It's about, I want to honor him because I want him to trust me with his spirit, because that brings a presence to me that when I'm around you, you feel it. And can I tell you something else? You put 150, 200 people together on a Sunday morning who are serious about God, and it creates a presence in the atmosphere. We had a visitation from God after my leukemia experience at Skinner Chapel. We had a period of time when people were seeking God. It wasn't about Skinner Chapel. God doesn't live in buildings. You with me? This place could burn down, and God could meet us here in this field. We understand that. We had a visitation that was incredible. We had a time when people were really seeking God in a way they hadn't before. We had a young man that works at a nearby shop who comes from a sinful lifestyle. I was standing there. He walked inside the front door and he went, whoa! And I looked at him. He kind of grinned. He said, man, it feels good in here. That's the honest truth. That ain't about Pastor Tom. Don't even go there. God will take his favor from us. That happens. People glorify a minister. There's nothing wrong with respecting your minister. We want to be respectful to each other. It's about people coming to the same place, and they're bringing the Spirit of God with them. And 100 of them are here, and 150 of them are there, 200, and they begin to sing, and they've been walking with God all week, and they've been having an intimate spiritual time, and they know the Lord, and it brings a presence. And you put that all together, somebody walks in, it's foreign to you, and they're like, whoa! The best thing you can do for your world is know the Lord and walk with him and intimately get to know him. Spend time with him. I don't know why I feel the Lord's thumb in my back so strong on that. Young men and women here this morning, don't compromise on your time with God. Michael, Tim, Should I go on? Take your time with God. There's young women here in this group that have an incredible commitment. I believe you would die for the Lord in a minute. The devil knows that. You bring a presence. When you go to the local meeting at the school, it's not just you. And you'll find as you go along that people will say, I noticed something around that person. It isn't about them. It's about the Spirit of God. Acknowledge Him. Is that still up there? Yep. Acknowledge Him in everything. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and He will direct your paths. Acknowledge Him in everything. Lord, guide my steps today. Can I tell you my prayer this morning? I believe in acknowledging the Lord and asking for His help, and when you do that, He answers that. I said, Lord, be with me as I study. Be with me as I get my shower and get ready, and we drive up to the church. Practice. Help me to be an encouragement to the other people in practice. Before the service, I've always got the message on my mind, but don't let me be stuck in my office if there's somebody I need to be talking to. Help me to know if there's somebody. Help me to recognize a down expression, someone who's upset, someone's going through something. Help me to be keen to acknowledge the Lord in all your paths and what? He will, or acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and He will direct your paths. It's great to come to the end of a day and say, God has directed me. Now, there's going to be mistakes in through there because you don't have your glorified body yet. So don't get discouraged with that. You're going to mess it up sometimes. You're going to mess it up. Oh, I've started that prayer a lot of times. Lord, I sure blew that. You know what you do with that? You say, Lord, could you bring that around again? I had a lady one time in traffic. I was a young Christian. Man, I laid into her. Whew. Anybody ever get mad in traffic? I thought we had honest people here. This lady pulled out in front of me and kind of cut me off. And I was over here by Grant Street, and I was a Christian at the time. I'd been a Christian about 6-7 years. And I pointed at her, and right immediately, my friend that I'd talked to that morning hit me right here and said, that wasn't a Christian thing to do. That wasn't being in the hands and feet of Christ. Okay. So I said, Lord, could you cause me to have another chance at that? Guess what? About a week later, I stand at the produce weigh scales weighing up some produce for somebody. I looked up and there stood that lady. I recognized her. There was my opportunity to correct it. And I'm having a little fun with that, but God is good at don't get discouraged in your walk. You're going to blow it sometimes. He's the God of second chances and third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh. Now, we're not to go out here deliberately and sin because, oh, you know, I'll just do whatever I want because pastor said he'll forgive you 100 times. So, no, we don't. That's the wrong attitude. But as our heart is striving, as our heart is working at this thing and it's what we want and we really want to put God first, God's incredibly merciful. God used to try to get me to think I was hanging over hell by a string and He's standing here with a pair of scissors. Anybody ever feel that way? That's not how it works. You remember what I preached last week? He's anxious to forgive. Anxious to forgive. When He sees you goof up, He's like, come on. All you gotta do is ask. Say something. Don't sit there looking at the floor. Say something. He's anxious to forgive. Put God first. Spend time with Him. Acknowledge Him in everything. Walk in obedience. Walk in obedience. And I need to say something about that. That's become an unpopular viewpoint. You know, people love to say things like, oh, Christianity is a bunch of do's and don'ts. All nonsense. Hear me out a minute. That's nonsense. Now, there's people that have done that with it. There's people that have presented it that way. The law of God was given out of love. Now, family members, forgive me for using this example. When the boys were little, I had a law, and the law was this. Thou shalt not ride thy bicycle on the road over here, 450 North. Thou shalt not ride thy bicycle on the road from 4:30 to 6, because that's when everybody's coming home from work. What was the reason for that law? Love. I knew that those little boys were new on their bicycle, and between 4:30 and 6, people flew by there 60 miles an hour. And you know what else? When I was a little boy, I got hit twice. Not too smart. Once walking and once on a bicycle. And I know what it's like to see headlights coming and a screech of tires, and all of a sudden you're out and you're on the ground. And I woke up on the pavement. My mother was praying over me, and I heard an ambulance coming. So because I love those little boys, I said, thou shalt not ride thy bicycle. The law is given out of love. Isn't it shameful that we look up and say, don't tell me what to do? He's trying to protect us. He doesn't say thou shalt not commit adultery because he's against any kind of pleasure. He says that because it doesn't work. It ends up smashing your own heart. It ends up coming, what goes around comes around. It ends up coming back to you. It ends up destroying you. If you give yourself to 100 people, you end up with a fragmented spirit. And the Heavenly Father knows that. So he just draws a line and says, don't do that. And we say, don't tell me what to do. The law is given out of love. I know that's an example that, and some have heard that many times. I haven't said it for a long time, but I think that thou shalt not ride the bicycle is about as clear as it gets. The law is given out of love. So walk in obedience. He's trying to protect you. Honor him with your first fruits. Oh, that's important. And I could go a long time on that. I'm not going to stay on that too long. I don't feel as urgent about that one this morning. I'm not sure the reasons for all that, but I'm going to go with it. Honor him with your first fruits. Oh, there's people say, I don't have God's favor. I don't have God's favor. Seems like so-and-so always has God's favor. I don't have it, but guess what? They've never given God their first fruits. What's the first fruits? It's the best lamb. Under the Old Testament covenant, which we're not under, but under the Old Testament covenant, when you went out to choose a lamb for sacrifice, God said, you don't bring a sick one. You don't bring one with a broken leg. You take the best and you give it. A principle. We're to give our best. And then he gives us his best. Draw nigh to God. He draws nigh to you. And there's lots of people that are quick to say, oh, it doesn't seem like I have the favors of other people. Doggone, it seems like I have the worst luck. Everything. And they've never given God their first fruits. They've spent their life giving God their leftovers. Giving God your first fruits. I saw this modeled by my father. Oh, my. There's a lot required of me. Too much is given, much is required. I had a heritage incredible. My father had a prophet's anointing. My mother should be in the 11th chapter of Hebrews with the patriarchs. I'm serious. But I saw this modeled. Daddy had God's favor. He had God's favor. He was poor in Job's turkey. He went to churches everywhere. And spoke in poor churches and spoke revival meetings, and a lot of times he'd just take free will offering. A lot of times he wouldn't just get a handful of change. I've been with Daddy in Arkansas when I was a little kid, and he'd hold revival meetings, and there was grass growing up and weeds growing up through the boards of these little poor churches, and people just come from everywhere. I've been brush arbor services where they cut little trees and actually made a place to have service and cut an opening in the area of the woods. And But Daddy had the favor of God. I'm telling you, he had the favor of God. And you know what? I'm reaping some of that because you reap blessings to the third and fourth generation. You're doing your kids a favor when you walk with God. You're doing your grandkids a favor. Braxton and Jackson and Jericho and Dylan and Malachi. There's another one in there. Addison. Did I forget anybody? Now, what was I talking about? Favor. They're benefiting from my father. And I believe, too, by God's grace, they're benefiting some from their grandmother and myself. I want to carry the torch. There's value in what I'm saying. Don't worry about leaving your kids $1 million. Leave them a heritage. My father died, and we owned his trailer. But what he left us, oh my, did he have God's favor? And even when he lost his mind, the Bible says that God will take care of you right down to the end. And when he became feeble mentally and couldn't think clearly for himself, we just by chance, we thought, only to find that God had ordered it. Through a set of circumstances, and I'll not take time to tell, due to him having to have a surgically placed catheter and we could no longer care for him and he had to have nurse's care, we put him in a facility in Warren, Indiana. And guess who was the administrator, and we didn't know it, at the Warren home in Warren, Indiana, the administrator that ran the whole place was a young woman who had been saved in one of his revival meetings. Now, come on, if that isn't favor. And she took me aside and she said, "Don't you worry about Jack. I'm having him put right next to the nurse's station, and they're going to watch him. If you have any problems at all, you come straight to the top." Even when your mind's slipping, God will give you favor. It's a friendship, folks. It's an intimacy. Put him first. Come on. The other stuff ain't worth it. It's all going to burn up. Put him first. Spend time with him. Acknowledge him in your ways, in your decisions. Why, you probably think, some of you, maybe I carry this too far. I go in by shotgun. I say, "Lord, let me find a decent deal." I was looking for a deer stand one time. And I was standing there looking at it. Now, you're going to think I'm making this stuff up, but you look at my blessings book at home, you'll see it matches what I'm saying. I stand there looking at the deer stand. Scott had this happen once. I remember him telling me a similar story. I stand there looking at the deer stand, and I'm thinking, "Yeah, you know, I want to spend money wisely, and I want to help people in need, and that's $59.95 for that stand. I probably shouldn't get it." While I'm standing there, a guy come up and put a reduced sign on it and marked it in half. While I was standing there, reduced, man, I snagged that thing. I've had that happen more than once. Favor. I'm not trying to be cute. I'm just saying to you, don't you think for one minute that the God that made the grasshoppers and the blade of grass and those little tiny flowers down between the grass that have great beauty when you put a magnifying glass on them, he doesn't know what's going on with you? Did you know that the hairs of your head are numbered? The Bible says the hairs of your head are numbered. Psalms 139 says he knows the thoughts you have before you have them. And I'm going to tell you something, getting under God's favor works down to the details. Yeah, it works down to the details. Now, why do I have a burr? Just might as well be honest. Why do I have a burr with some of the ministries in the last 25 years? Because they've distorted this wonderful truth. There are ministries that have got up and acted like this is some kind of a gimmick, and they quote verses out of Malachi, "Bring your tithes in the storehouse, and I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you can't contain. Send me $10 right now, and you'll make $1,000 within 30 days. Don't play those games with wonderful truths. But I'm going to tell you what the real truth is, whether it be your tithe or whether it be your time, or whether it be reaching out to somebody, you put God first and you develop a relationship with him, you'll find his favor right down to the details. This thing of favor is real. It's just it's not being told. Sometimes it's told for personal advantage, not always. But I think somebody needs to have the courage to call that. Just to call it and blow the whistle. Put God first, spend time with him, acknowledge him in everything, walk in obedience, honor him with your first fruits. Now, draw nigh to God, and I'm almost done. He will draw nigh to you. Okay, what's going to happen? I've covered quite a bit of this already, so don't worry that I'm going to talk 15 minutes about each of these. He will draw nigh to you. What will happen? And oh my, we could have 150 points here. But I've picked five. There'll be the abiding, realized presence of the Holy Spirit. You noticed I said realized. When you first get to know the Father, when you're a baby, you don't recognize the voice of your Father immediately. That comes. It isn't long when Pam come home from the hospital. We brought the kids home after they were born. Within a day or so, as the kids are developing, within then a week goes by, we notice that they're beginning to respond to us. Tommy didn't know the words that I was saying, but he began to recognize my voice. And when I would lean down and say, "Hi, how are you? Oh, you got a big smile today," he'd grin. Why? He didn't know the words. He didn't understand English yet, but he was beginning to recognize my voice. Come on. That's how it is. Be patient with yourself. If you've just started this thing, you're not going to get amazing revelations that are spelled out. You're just getting to know the Father's voice. But then as we'd go along, they'd begin to know a word or two. And then the day comes when it's so much fun. Dads, I think, like this stage where you come home from work and they come running to the door. And they know all kinds of words and they want to tell you what they did today, and that relationship develops. It's no different. We've made this thing too complicated. In your walk with God, when you're born again, you begin to recognize the Father's voice. You don't know everything He's saying. It's not clear. You have to depend on other Christians to kind of help you understand things. And you got to sit down with somebody and something's got to be explained to you. But as you get to know the Father, you'll understand His language. And what's cool about the Heavenly Father is that He'll have a unique relationship with each individual. Even though there are some awesome things we all have in common, my relationship isn't exactly like Dawn's or Mark's or Kathy's, Bill's. God meets us. That's why we call Him a personal Savior. He'll know you in your own way as you are. Now, as we draw nigh to Him, there'll be the abiding, realized presence of God's Spirit. When we walk close to Him and we honor Him, those things that I went through a few minutes ago, we give Him our first fruits. We find His favor. And what is that? It's Him drawing nigh to you. It's His favor on your life, the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. And I have realized, because you'll realize it, God will become real enough to you that you'll realize it. God is with me. I can tell He's with me. There'll be guidance and direction on your life. Many of you know one of my favorite passages of Scripture is John 3:8. The wind blows where it listeth, you hear the sound thereof. You know not whence it cometh or whither it goeth, so everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. Be easy to preach a message on that. That's a message for another time. But it's the wind of the Spirit. God directs you. Guidance and direction in your life, you don't even realize it. You go home and think, well, why did I stop there and have that conversation? Oh, I think I know why that happened. God knew I needed to talk to that person. That's why I ran to them at Walmart. And you realize that the wind of the Spirit was directing you and you weren't even aware of it. That'll begin to happen in your life. And boy, I love to speak on that, but I'm almost finished. Blessing and favor on what you do. I want to hit these real quick. And we'll make another message out of part of this maybe. Enhanced relationships. Ooh, this is big. The favor of God, the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit enhances your relationship. Your marriage is better. Now, Pastor, you're carrying that too far. No. Your marriage is better. You know why? Because as you walk with God, He takes the selfishness out of you. As you walk with God, He takes the selfishness out of you. And your marriage is better. You'll be a better marriage partner all the way around in everything. I'm being truthful with you. Because God takes the selfishness out of you. As you walk with Him, you're more sensitive, you're more caring, you're deeper. There's more going on in your spirit. You have so much more to offer. You have wholeness. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. He'll enhance your relationships. Number five, boy, I could say a lot about four and five, but I need to close. Your home becomes a safe refuge. That might seem a little odd to have that one in there. It almost seems like it doesn't fit. The rest of them, you know, kind of flow, and they sound like they go together. Well, that seems like it's kind of odd, man out. But I want to say to you that God lives within you. And if you have a man and a woman, and we're privileged to have this, not everybody has this. And I say that with sensitivity. Some of you don't have Christian spouses. But we're privileged to have husband and wife that know the Lord and spend time with the Lord. It does something in your home. It does something in your home. It makes your home a refuge. One of my sons said something to me one time that meant the world to me. He said, Daddy, when I was a little boy, I thought you was terrible strict. And when I became a teenager and even looked back, I thought, man, my dad was strict. But he said, now looking back, I realize that's why I feel so safe here. Because you protected the home. We did things maybe that sound a little crazy, and we don't all have to agree on this, but whether it was coming out of a box in the corner with a screen on the front of it, or whether it was out of somebody's mouth, we didn't want to see God's name or Jesus' name misused in the house, and we just didn't see that happening. The Holy Spirit's easily grieved, the Bible says. And I want the Spirit of the Lord in our house. And everybody has to draw your own lines. I'm just saying where we've been. But I do want to say it's paid benefits. We've been very careful about ever grieving the Spirit of God and having things go on in our home and things said, whether it's on the airwaves or whether... But I do believe it's created a safe environment. And I was amazed that one of my sons made that statement and said, "Dad, it's so safe here." And I see now why. Well, I could stay on that one, but I won't. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. I've found that even though I don't actually continue a message sometimes the next week, it usually comes out in the weeks following in another form. Simple line, anybody can memorize this, I would encourage you to, but more than memorize it, I would encourage you to dig into what it's saying. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Let's stand for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the awesome privilege of speaking to these people, the ability to do that. Thank you for your word this morning. Pray you would use these truths, and thank you for just your presence in the service. Lord, if I've said anything that's out of line, if I've said anything I shouldn't have said, melt that in people's minds. Help them to forget it. I want the things to stay with people that are from you, for it's not by might or by power, but by your Spirit. I want those things to be what stay and root in their hearts. Be with us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.